You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this Locked On Grizzlies podcast. You can also see all of my work over at grizzlybearblues.com. I cover the Grizzlies up there as the assistant editor. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. You can also follow my personal account at King_producer and ask questions. Let us know what you think about the show, whether good or bad. If you also have questions, you can DM me on my personal account or the show account, or you can email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Today we have kind of a different show. We're going to basically have a really long conversation with Sean Woodley. He is he writes for the Raptors. He's actually the Locked On Raptors host for the Locked On Network. So we had a lengthy conversation today about the Grizzlies, about the Raptors, what the Grizzlies are doing well, what the Raptors are doing well, and kind of how the two teams kind of are very similar way. So that's going to be our podcast for today. It's going to be a conversation with, again, Sean Woodley. He is the Locked On Raptors host for this Locked On Network, as well as the contributing editor for Raptors HQ. So make sure you take a listen and enjoy the conversation with Sean. And you can follow him at Woodley Sean on Twitter. I think it's a really good conversation. Really insightful stuff for the Raptors. So enjoy.
Grizzlies Raptors take on it's the former Vancouver Naismith Cup matchup, of course. Raptors Grizzlies. There's no more Naismith Cup, unfortunately. But this is always a fun matchup. I always like watching the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have kind of been, to me, like the Western version of the Raptors for a long time. Maybe not with Kawhi Leonard on them, but like previous versions with DeMar and Kyle, I've always kind of looked at the Grizzlies as like kind of the Western Conference doppelganger, in that they are the first really good team in franchise history, like this era of the team, and they're pretty beloved guys, maybe not quite superstar, like title-winning level players, but it's always kind of been a really enjoyable and hardworking and fun team to watch. And, you know, they make it to a conference final each once, and they can't really get past that. There are questions every year about, oh, you're going to bring this team back and keep it together. But it always kind of seems to, you know, work out. And then they win a bunch of games normally. Although the Grizzlies kind of had themselves a strange year last year where everyone got hurt and they lost all of the games and ended up getting Jaren Jackson Jr. in the draft, fourth overall. And now they're 12-7 and have kind of bounced back a little bit. So I guess my first question for you, Mark, to start this thing off is, like, how have they done it? Why are they 12-7 now? I thought this team was going to kind of be one of, like, the Kings and the Suns at the bottom of the Western Conference.
Defense. That's how. I mean, defensively, that's one thing you can count on the Grizzlies to do literally every night is to play a good defense. Now, their offense is a question mark, and that's something they're going to have to fix. But their defense is a very consistent thing about this team. They're, you know, they float around second, third, fourth in defensive rating in the NBA. So it's really one of a team that, you know, that's something you know you can count on literally every night. And they've won a lot of their games solely because of their defense. I mean, you got a lot of teams like the Bucks they've been playing that a lot of teams that are high, you know, high scoring offenses like your Raptors are going to be on Tuesday night. But they've been able to slow these guys down and put them in the games where it's 85 and 90s teams that are used to scoring 115. So, you know, you put teams like that in situations they've really never been in, and it really makes it hard, especially when the defense can clamp down so tightly sometimes and make it very difficult for teams to score. You really make it hard for teams to figure out how to score. You know, they've just never been in that situation where they don't really know what to do. And so I think that's really that's their main thing for the Grizzlies is defense. I mean, that's what they hang their hat on. Like I said, their offense comes and goes, but that's why this team has won so many games. So, and that same thing with the Raptors. I mean, you guys, I think were seventh last year defensive rating, like second, third right now. I mean, now you have Kawhi. What's Kawhi done for the Raptors for you guys?
Yeah, Kawhi, I mean, he's really good. It's kind of different.
He's good at basketball.
Yeah, it's like very easy analysis with him. It's like, oh, he's just excellent at everything, and that helps the Raptors be very good. No, it's really different and weird because, you know, you have DeMar DeRozan in the past, and he was an excellent player for sure, and, like, you could definitely rely on him. He was great late in games and stuff like that, has a lot of really clutch moments and stuff like that as well, but just Kawhi is a different kind of reliable, I think, when it comes to just like when he is going to be the guy, when he's coming up the floor and you can kind of see it in his eyes, like, oh, he wants to get his shot right here. He's just always going to do it. He can get his shots off so easily, and it becomes such a cheat code for the offense. And honestly, the Raptors have kind of gotten a little bit stuck in the mud at times because I feel on Kawhi at times. Like, they don't have to do that. They're a very good motion offense team. Kyle Lowry at the point of attack has been fantastic setting guys up. And, like, it's just that they can play an egalitarian style of offense if they want to, but sometimes it's just easier to say, all right, Kawhi, he'll get us a bucket. And they've kind of fallen into a pattern a little bit in some games where it's like, okay, let's do that too often. And then they kind of get into a pattern because he's still working off some rust and he's not quite at the peak efficiency that you would expect that he's going to be by the end of the season. You know, he's still resting the second night of back-to-backs. He still hasn't really gotten into a flow just yet. So sometimes they'll get into these patterns where they'll just kind of let him take over the offense for 5 or 6 minutes at a time. And, you know, it has some positive effect, but at the same time, there's some downside as well. And I think on defense, he's still kind of figuring things out too. And, you know, the Raptors are 7th in defense right now, which honestly, considering the defensive talent on the team, feels a little bit of like a disappointment. Like, this is a team with maybe one bad defensive player and a couple like average ones. And then most of their players are plus defenders. And the lineups they can throw out there, just versatility-wise, are so scary. Like, they can just destroy teams with their switchability and their ability to cause turnovers and create havoc and turn that defense into. They've kind of gotten into a pattern, I think, where they kind of rely too much on Kawhi a little bit too much. But at the same time, it's like, that's why you get a superstar, is you say, you know, for this many possessions a game, you don't have to do that much work because he's that good. So that's kind of been the biggest difference, is getting used to that, because they couldn't really do that with. That was the reason they had to change their offense last season with DeMar DeRozan. Is be good enough that you could have those moments in games where he is the fulcrum and the big focus of the offense, because he just wasn't quite efficient enough as a high usage guy to be able to carry that over long periods of time. Kawhi is that, and he will get to the point where he can carry the team for stretches. It's still kind of getting to that point, but it's been really remarkable nonetheless to sort of watch him fit into the team really well. Because, like, I mean, they're 17-4, the Raptors are, and they haven't even really played that well or as well as they're capable of, as crazy as that sounds. They have had this thing where they keep giving up big leads. Like, they will be up 15 to 20 points on a team, and then, like, all of a sudden it's down to 4 or 5 points, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess they have to try for this one. And they'll usually pull it out. It's rare that they've lost games, obviously, this year, but they've had a bit of trouble kind of keeping the foot on the gas. And they've been hurt a lot, and Kawhi, again, has rested 6 games so far or missed a couple with an ankle injury. So there's still a lot of room to grow, which is kind of terrifying to think about.
Yeah, all the things you just described are a lot of the things the Grizzlies go through. They rely on Mike Conley sometimes almost to a fault, you know, because he's a guy that can go out and get you buckets. You know, he's a guy that, just like Kawhi, you know, although Kawhi's a better player, he's a guy that can go out and get you points, and almost so fault, and they have lost games because of this. You can look at the games against the Knicks on Sunday night, where Mike played 39 minutes and was literally just gassed because he was just so tired. And the Knicks knew exactly what the Grizzlies were going to do. We're going to Mike Conley, and he was going to try to make something happen. And so, you know, they do the same thing. They give up big leads, and then for the Grizzlies, unfortunately for them, haven't always been able to pull them out. Happened in the Suns game, happened in the Clippers game, happened in the Knicks game. All the games they should have won, but they gave up big leads either early in the game or in the third quarter, and, you know, were having to look to claw their way back, and it just didn't work out for them. So it seems like when you said earlier that they're kind of a doppelganger of the West and the East, and it seems like you're describing the Grizzlies exactly almost to a T, but, you know, it seems that for them, they haven't really worked out for them as far as wins and losses, but they're doing the same kind of type things, you know, relying on Mike Conley. And then, you know, the defense is going to be there. The offense some kind of just stalls sometimes. And they, you know, it's almost like they just lose focus at times and let teams get back into it. You know, it's very strange. It's very strange, especially in third quarters. It's just something they just kind of start coasting. And unfortunately for them, it doesn't really work out as much as it has for the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, you look look at the Grizzlies roster and like it doesn't seem like it has the amount of like overflowing talent that they can kind of get by on their laurels, right? And like that's the thing with the Raptors is like they're so deep that and Kawhi and their top lineups are so effective that they can still get away with stretches of the game where they don't particularly play very well, as maddening as it is. Whereas with the Grizzlies, I mean, I guess my question with this is how real do you think this start is? Because I like Conley and Mark. It's insane that people bet against them, and I probably was an idiot for doing that too to start the year. You know, a little part of my brain is always like, why are you betting against the Grizzlies? They have Conley and Gasol, and they're going to win 48 games at minimum just having those two on the court. But then you look at the rest of the roster, and it's like Marshawn Brooks is out there, and Wayne Selden, and Chandler Parsons is still like kind of hanging around, or his corpse at least is kind of hanging around. You got Omri Caspi kicking around. Like, it feels like a strange roster without much in the way of creation beyond the top two guys. And I'm curious what you think about like how sustainable it is, because like if anything happens to Conley and Gasol, it feels like there's going to be trouble coming for this team, just because there's so little in the way of like organic shot creation and just sort of like popped talent that really pops. But I don't know, like, are they doing something? Is there something going on with one of these other guys that we're missed, that I'm missing when I look at the roster?
Yeah, his name is Jaren Jackson Jr., and that is really that's your third guy. I mean, you have Mark and Mike, and you know, you mentioned Marshawn Brooks, guys like Marshawn Brooks, Wayne Selden, Chandler Parsons, guys you thought were going to be the scoring off the bench or the second unit, you really just haven't largely penned out, and it doesn't surprise me. Chandler Parsons has been hurt. Marshawn Brooks was guys been playing in China for 4 years, so if you thought he was going to be good, that's obviously there's a reason he's over there. Wayne Selden hasn't really even played basketball. He was hurt much of last year. And before that, he was claimed off of waivers. So, you know, yes, you're right. You know, beyond Mark and Mike, there's not a lot there. But they're sitting out there is Jaren Jackson Jr., who is a very special player. And he doesn't even realize how good he really is. He's very good getting from the perimeter to the bucket, taking people off the dribble. And so the coaching staff is going to really, you know, that's kind of the thing right now is the coaching staff has to really find a way to get those guys to involve Jaren with the offense more. Maybe not running plays for him specifically, but at least putting him in better position to score the basketball. Because, you know, like you said, beyond Mark and Mike, there isn't a whole lot of scoring there. And they've got – that's their biggest challenge right now is they've got to find a way to get Mike Conley help, either via Jaren Jackson, you know, putting him in more – in better sets, putting him in the pick and roll, or going out and possibly getting, a secondary wing playmaker via trade. That's something that is their biggest deficiency. And so I think that it's sustainable because the defense is just so good sometimes. It really is, and it's impressively good sometimes. And so I think it's sustainable, but long term, I think you if you want to actually make it dent in the playoffs, you have to find a way to get secondary scoring, and that's their big issue.
Yeah, they almost remind me of like a journeyman, less talented version of the Celtics in that, like, off the bench, none of these guys are going to blow you away by any means, but the defense that they all bring, like having a defense that's number two in the league, that just there's inherently going to be a floor when you're that good. And, you know, we've seen like both that they're kind of mirror teams in their numbers this season, Boston and Memphis. Like Memphis has the, eighth worst offense in the league. Boston's got the fourth worst offense, but their defenses are so prolific that there's just always going to be a baseline there. And especially in the regular season, in a regular season where very few teams seem like they really give a damn about playing defense, I can imagine like coming across those teams on a random Wednesday night, it must just be so grinding to be like, really? We got to play against, like, Garrett, like, really trying on defense against us? That seems miserable to me. So that's not entirely surprising. And Jaren Jackson, you're totally right. Like, that dude, there's always these guys in the draft where people are like, oh, man, they're going to obviously be really good. And then they somehow go, like, fourth or seventh or something. And it's like, why wouldn't they go higher if they're good? And, like, Jaren Jackson just seemed like a perfect – like modern NBA big, right? Like so far this year, he's averaging 13, 5, and 1.5 assists already, which is kind of encouraging and exciting. And then you got the 1.1 steals and 2.2 blocks in just 25 minutes. And he's already shooting 35% from three, and he's over 50% from the field. Like that is all very encouraging stuff from a dude who's like 19 years old. So I have high hopes for him. And the Grizzlies, I mean, they're a kind of team that, like, I'm glad when they get a good player, when they score a good player, because it's not often that I like land a free agent or anything like that. And when they do, it's often the husk of Chandler Parsons or someone like that. But yeah, Jaren Jackson's awesome. And I'm really glad he ended up in Memphis for sure.
You mentioned Jaren Jackson Jr. and a lot of the things that you mentioned that he's doing, it is he's doing these things not even a focal point of the offense, so which is really, really impressive. Like, you know, he's just being out. That's just him being out on the floor. Like, he had 7 blocks against the Knicks on Sunday night. I mean, just really, really special stuff. So it's kind of scary to think what happens when he's actually a focal point of the offense, what he's able to do. But I did want, like, you know, how fun is it for you guys to be able to go out and watch this team, these Raptors who were good last year, but you guys are on pace to be even better this year. Like, you know, how fun is it to watch? And do you think you guys can compete with the Golden State of the world at the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely fun to watch, like, the other teams in the league and, like, melt down for sure. And when the Warriors are having all this internal strife, there's definitely a party that's like, hey, like, maybe this makes this 0.5% more likely that the Raptors could beat the Warriors in a finals. Because, yeah, like, watching this Raptors team is a delight. They are just so insanely talented and just annoying, because in a regular year where there's no Warriors, there's no team that has 4 players who are ranked in the top 15 to 20 in the league. They're probably like a very legitimate title team, maybe a title favorite in most normal years, but this is not a normal era of the NBA. So that kind of throws off the calculus of everything. But yeah, they're just considering how, I think, I don't want to say it was stale, because I still really enjoyed the old teams. And I was totally on team run it back and was happy to bring DeMar DeRozan back again and Dwayne Casey even this season. You know, barring the opportunity to get a superstar, which they ended up doing, even though I said on my very podcast, like, there's no way the Raptors are getting Kawhi Leonard, so stop asking me questions about it. I said those exact words. And, like, so I didn't think this was likely to happen. And the fact that it's happened, and now the Raptors have a guy who they've always been kind of looking for, who has been, you know, having that superstar, it just changes your world, right? And changes the way that you can think about and look at your team. Like, they've always been the team that's a runner-up to the team with the superstar in LeBron James, right? So for them to have that guy now who might be the best player in the conference, maybe second best behind Giannis, we'll see what happens when Kawhi really gets fully going here. But it just kind of changes your outlook and changes the possibilities that you think can kind of take place. And yeah, like, would the Raptors beat the Warriors in a series? Probably not. Like, if you look at it and you're being reasonable about it, you'd say the Raptors are well suited to match up against them. They actually play the Warriors. Their next game after Memphis is Thursday against the Warriors at home. I don't know if Steph Curry's going to play for that game, so it might not be a perfect sort of barometer of where the Raptors are at. But if you're trying to construct a team to beat the Warriors, which, think about last year with the Houston Rockets, they built their team entirely around playing against the Warriors. You'd be kind of happy with what the Raptors have, right? There's an elite wing in Kawhi Leonard who starts that sort of collection of wings that, you know, you can have out there. You can have them play the 2-3-4, the 3-4-5, or 1-2-3-4-5 if you really want to get weird. The Raptors have the personnel to match what the Warriors do switching-wise and just sort of length-wise. They don't have the talent, that's for sure. Like, the Kawhi Leonard's amazing, but he's at best the second best player in that series, and probably third if you're going to put him behind Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. That's an interesting conversation to have for sure. But, like, you're still at a talent disadvantage, but at least the way they're constructed is in the sort of vein of a team that is going to have a real chance against the Warriors, like the Rockets did last year, where there is just, like, elite shot creation in the form of Kawhi Leonard. Kyle Lowry is maybe not the perfect point guard to go up against that team, but he's also had really good games against the Warriors throughout his career. Him and Steph Curry have had some real battles that have been super fun. So maybe you're happy with him there as your point guard. He can't really defend this. He's going to be a liability if he gets switched on to guys, but you deal with that when you come to it, and you're happy you have Kyle Lowry on your team because he is very good defensively.
So my last question for you, John, is obviously not Grizzlies are not going to stop Kawhi, you know, really, or slow down probably Kyle Lowry. But who's the secondary kind of scorer on this team that, or two or three secondary scorers in this team the Grizzlies need to try and limit to be able to win this matchup against the Raptors?
Yeah, it's that's the thing about the Raptors is that yes, they have Kyle and Kawhi, which is like a really nice duo to have, but they have a lot of other scorers who are capable of having big nights. And I guess the main guy right now over the last little while here has been Pascal Siakam. He has been just a revelation. He's been outstanding. The last 15 games, he's averaging 17 points, 7 boards, 2.5 assists, and like 1.5 steals on 69% true shooting. He has been just out of this world, and he's kind of taken that leap that I think a lot of Raptors fans kind of hope that he might this year, but it's just the way the quickness with which it's happened, where he's gone from being, you know, a nice bench piece last season who had a lot of potential and had some nice moments, to just being like a, you know, a staple part of the offense and probably the third best player on the team when you sort of look at it, you know, holistically from all the different skills that these guys bring. You know, it's been just so much faster than anyone could have expected. So there's that. Pascal Siakam's hard to guard. I'm curious to see how him and Jaren Jackson will match up, because I'm assuming that'll be the matchup. And Siakam's had a really easy time this season so far in certain matchups where he'll size a guy up and be able to pull off his patented spin move. And he seems to hit every single shot when he pulls this off. And I don't think Jackson is going to be one of the easier guys for him to do that against. He's done it a lot against, to be frank about it, European white bigs. He has really had a time with so far this season. Jason Tatum as well. He had a really, pretty much everybody of late, he's been kind of taking it to them. So the Jaren Jackson, considering how good of a defender he is, considering how long he is, his shot blocking acumen, I'm excited to see what he has, you know, as sort of a counter to Pascal Siakam's spin move, which has become one of the more deadly moves in the entire league from any player, really. Like, there are whole mixtapes right now of his spin move, and it seems like he scores every time he busts it out. So Siakam's a guy. And then, you know, depending who the Raptors start at center, which could go either way, it could be Serge Ibaka or Jonas Valanciunas. The Raptors have switched it up pretty significantly this season, where they're not running with the same starting five every game. They're pretty much just playing the matchups when it comes to their centers. And against Marc Gasol, it's one of those kind of in-between guys, because they've typically gone Serge Ibaka against sort of smaller, more athletic, more shooting-focused centers, and Jonas Valanciunas up against bigger, more bruising guys like Andre Drummond, for example, or last night Hassan Whiteside when they played the Heat. But against Marc Gasol, it could go either way, really, and I'm not sure exactly how they're going to go there. Do you want the strength and sort of rebounding ability of Jonas up against Marc Gasol, or do you want Serge Ibaka's ability to kind of stretch it out and get him from the perimeter? Gasol's going to go hang out for threes. It's really interesting to see how that's all going to play out. So I don't exactly know what we'll see there, but those two guys have been excellent offensive players so far, and a lot of it has been tied to Kyle Lowry, who is leading the league in assists right now, and most of his assists just happen to be like easy pick-and-roll assists to those two guys, and they are just feasting with Kyle Lowry kind of being their supply line, and I'm curious to see how that's going to work. You know, Memphis is a fantastic defensive team. They have the length to break up a lot of pick-and-rolls. I'm curious to see how that's going to be. This should be a fun matchup for the Raptors, who haven't really played that many amazing defenses so far. But when they have, like, they've still been able to score pretty much whenever they want to, whether it's Philadelphia or Boston. This Memphis team should provide a really nice test, because their length could be something that disrupts sort of what's been their staple play so far. But so one last question I have for you before we wrap this thing up is kind of a coaching question. You know, J.P. Bickerstaff has kind of become like the butt of a lot of jokes, in that people just assume he's the interim guy who takes over when someone gets fired and then leaves and parts ways at the end of the season. But the Grizzlies decided to bring him back this season, and it seems to be kind of, you know, paying dividends right now. What is your sort of take on J.B. Bickerstaff as a coach? And, like, are you happy he's back? Were you excited about the decision to have him return at the beginning of the season? Like, what's kind of been the response to Bickerstaff, and how has he put his imprint on the team that maybe we thought he was never going to be able to do as an interim coach?
Yeah, you know, they didn't really have a true coaching search. I think that was probably my biggest gripe with it, is they didn't go out and actually, you know, have a coaching search, look for a guy, and then settle on JB. They just said, okay, we got JB. He was the interim coach, and we'll just keep him, which is fine. You know, I like JB. He's a good dude. But, you know, when you're trying to – when you're a team like the Grizzlies have been a revolving door coaches with Dave Yeager and Fizdale, you know, you want to make sure that you get a good coach for the time being. And it seems so that, you know – it seems like JB's been able to do that, you know, but he's been able to seemingly put his mark on this team. Now, you know, I sing his praises last week because they were playing so well, but, you know, the past couple of games, including the Clippers games, the lineups have been just very bizarre. You know, I think, like I mentioned earlier, he's got to find a way to get Jaren Jackson involved in this offense. got to find a way to get Kyle Anderson more involved in the offense. He's certainly got a long way to go. Are we happy? Am I happy with what we have right now? Sure, but I think he's got a long way to go. He's got a lot to learn, and I think he's got a lot to do to prove that he's got the coaching prowess to be able to make coaching changes throughout the season to better, you know, to keep making his team better. Something that really, you know, really shows rears its head in the playoffs when you play a team for seven games. When you have to make changes, little changes here and there, to make your team better to be able to beat, you know, beat the other team in that playoff series. So that's something that I think he really needs to work on. But yeah, we're happy with what we got now, but I think he's still got a long way to go.
Fair enough. Mark, man, this was great. It was great checking in with you. It's great that you're on the network now. Happy to have you as the host of Locked On Grizzlies. You know where to find us. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Locked On Raptors, Locked On Grizzlies, as well as Locked On NBA, all the different shows in the network. Make sure you're leaving ratings and reviews. Mark, where do people find you on the internet?
Yeah, so make sure you guys follow our show at, like you said, at Locked On Grizz. And you can find me on Twitter at King_producer. And yeah, just talk Grizzlies. And I appreciate you coming on and talking Grizzlies Raptors with me.
Yeah, man. Grizzlies Raptors, like I said off the top, always fun. It reminds me of the Vancouver Grizzlies. Makes me sad a little bit, but I'm glad Memphis has a team. They are a team that I always kind of have a soft spot in my heart for. People can find me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. You can, again, iTunes at Locked On Raptors on Twitter for all the links to the shows. It's very much appreciated if you leave ratings and reviews as well. Mark, thanks so much for coming on, man. This was great. And we will talk to you, I guess, when the Raptors and Grizzlies play again down the line.
Yeah, man. We'll do it again soon.
Again, thanks to Sean Woodley for joining me today. I thought it was very, very, it was a fun conversation. Just talking to Grizzlies Raptors for like 20, 25 minutes. I didn't even realize how long it was until we got done. So that's basically what is the show today, because it was such a long conversation. But again, thanks to Sean for joining me. You can follow him on Twitter at Woodley Sean, the Locked On Raptors host for this Locked On Network. Again, I'm Mark King. You can find me online at King_producer. You can find the show online at Locked On Grizz. If you'd like to be a feature sponsor on this show, please email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at LockedOnGrizzlies.com.